what part in a human is it coming from? Two, what do they do? What do these words do? Do they have a purpose when somebody speaks them? What is the purpose to the person who is speaking, reading, who has written, maybe a songwriter has written a song, words. Inside that songwriter, why do they have to put some words in the song? What is the purpose inside of them for writing the song? Then what is the purpose of those words? Do they do something to the person they came out of? Do they release something? Do they speak about something? Are they trying to communicate something from the person who wrote the word, the song? And then are they trying to tell somebody else something about this person here? Are they expressing feelings, thoughts, pain, joy, love, pleasure? Are words a vehicle of expression, communication? What do they tell us? Do they tell us stories? Do they tell us truths or lies? What do they do? Are they all the same when they come in? If I read a word and I hear the same word, do the same biological things go on inside my brain? Excuse me, sinuses this morning. It's a long night. But I have some relief because I got a mighty king now doing battle for me. He ain't going to tolerate this stuff anymore. So, he is at work. What do they do, these words? What are their purpose? What is their source inside a person? These are all deep questions. Because in the King and the Kingdom series, it's all about word. And in that series, you're going to learn later that a word came from out of the known earthly planet, came into the planet, took on the form of a human, and this word was sent to heal humanity, to set captives free, to bring back something to humanity, to renew humanity in some ancient words. A word was sent. But until you have an understanding of what a word is, you cannot understand that from a spiritual kingdom precept and concept. So what do words do? How are they related? Are there good words? Good forces behind words? Could there be some bad words with negative, evil forces behind them? Gotta ask these questions. Point three. Oops, excuse me. You're standing in your way. How are they stored? When a word comes to me in any form, a picture, a song, music, a book, a movie, coming in through my five senses. How does my biological body store them? Is it just electrical, chemical? Is that all that's up here? Electrical, chemical? How are they stored in there? Is it digital? Is it by light rays? Is it in chemicals? Is it in protons, neurons? Is it in hormones? What are the storage areas for the words? And I ask all these because we have these systems within us. We have a biological system that is working, hopefully. And we have a subconscious system that Freud believed in. But there was a hidden man, a person down here. It was a full person, shaped, formed, and conformed by the world. But he lived in darkness, which means ignorance. But all his senses were coming into it, teaching it. And then in spiritual work, we believe there's another part of you, a forever person, the spiritual part of you that's inside this dirt body, that's also affected by word. It lives in a different realm, but there's still words in that realm. It still has senses in that realm. And for a long time, it is just completely one with the subconscious mind. And whatever the subconscious mind receives, it is passed through to the spirit, to the forever person. Now, the subconscious part can't really receive the spiritual stuff because it's kind of foolish to him. But these two parts of us are both receiving words. They're both storing words. They're both creating words. Words are being spoken to them. They are speaking out words. They are storing words. Words are shaping them. They are forming them. They're either developing concepts, precepts, ideologies, ideas, philosophies from words, from other people. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of our dead humans, we'll go back to both the Romans and the Greeks, they're still ruling our lives and our thoughts, our governments, based on what they thought was truth. And they have formed governments. We live by their rules, their concepts, their precepts. And they still guide us, even though those people who spoke or thought those words are dead. Their ideas go on. Their philosophies, their concepts. So what do words do? They form concepts. Con means one. Accept means thought. So you get one thought. You might call it, we're all going to be in unity. We're all going to speak the same thing. We're all going to believe the same thing. What everybody says is the same thing. You hear it a lot among the world. Confucius over in China, he believed in unity. That we were all one, we should all dress the same, talk the same, there's no difference. Sort of a light form, a form of socialism. We're all the same. We're all to live the same. Nobody's any better. But somebody has to rule this socialist government. So somehow, some people, this is what the Greeks believe, always were up to be up here. They were the leaders, the dominators. They were the ones who had the special privilege. And they would rule all these people down here who had to be in unity. But the ones that were above, they didn't live like the ones below. They lived differently. So words from ancient cultures, ancient philosophers are still with us, passed on through generations, passed on through movies, through school books, through history, through family culture, through our religions, through our faith-based groups. So what do? They continue to shape us, conform us, guide us and direct us, teach us, lead us, still forming governments, guiding the government's words. How are they stored? Books, movies, ancient manuscripts. But more important than that, they're taught in our schools. They're taught in our families. They're taught in our culture. They're taught in our religions. They're taught through our family. Somebody brings in a concept, a word, they teach us when we're young, and we learn. We're shaped, we're molded, we're formed, we conform by words. And where are they stored? We have now something called the cloud, where you can shoot up videos and audio. And it's stored somewhere in machines. It's stored in the netherworld. So words are stored somewhere, one in here, in our memory. But they're stored in everybody's memory. Everybody seems to have a cloud in us that we store things. We could be storing them outside of us. Maybe like when I do a YouTube video, my website doesn't have enough space to store all the video. So I shoot it to YouTube and it's housed there. But when I want to bring it back down, I bring the URL link and put it on my website. But the big video is stored somewhere else. Could that be where words are stored? Somewhere else outside of us? Are they stored in all the other people? Do we have that kind of capacity in us, in our soul and in our forever person, to store all of that? Now, we do see some problems with storage, memory, when somebody gets a biological disease, called Alzheimer's or dementia. Somehow, something is causing their memory to evaporate. They'll keep their long-term memory. You've heard about long-term memory and short-term memory. That's all in the biological brain. Well, does our guy down here, our subconscious, does he have the same kind of short-term and long-term memory? What about our forever person? Does he have a short-term and a long-term memory? How does our forever person store this? Sometimes we learn a lot about storage by computers. We learn a lot where you have to have some big housing, some big unit on your laptops. The motherboard has to have more storage to contain pictures and videos and games and songs. And then it can get corrupted, as we know, and you can lose it, and it can get viruses, and it can get infected. So where are our memories and the words stored with us? Probably many different places. And spiritually, probably the same. Why are they stored? Why do we have to store images and sounds and have memory? What's the purpose of the word pictures in our memory? Why do we need long-term memory? What is it? Is it just a collection of words and pictures that come in? Is it beliefs and concepts? Do the words form all that? What happens if I'm speaking to you? You are deciding, some part of you, so whether you want to continue to listen to it. There's something there that draws you, that you want to listen. Then it might come in your biological ears or your spiritual ears, if you're in the spirit with me. It might start causing a war inside. I'll tell you a story that I get used to. Have it happen a lot. It deals with scrambling the word. When I'm speaking to you, I'm expressing something out of me. Usually when I teach, it's out of my spirit. It's coming up from my spirit, or down, rather. Down through the subconscious and out through the conscious. Now, what happens is, if I'm speaking spiritual truth from the kingdom of heaven, that is not of this world, then there will be a demonic, a scrambler between my coming out of my mouth and your ears. And how it worked, and I learned about this, was I was working with a multi-generational Satanist, a young girl about 15 years old. And she was a witch, and she was being groomed to be a high priestess in her clan, which is, I think it was called the Black Forest Clan out of Germany, which we had to take care of that thing, and that one doesn't exist anymore. And her family sat on this Council of International Brotherhood, which was a deep, deep secret society dealing with the whole world. They were in the third place, trying to move up to the first place. This young girl, which when I met her, she was to be a mother, she was a breeder, to bring forth the false prophet that has been predicted to come, which was equal to John the Baptist, who was the cousin of this guy that came named Christ Jesus. So her family, through many thousands, if not millions of years, of properly breeding and inbreeding and inbreeding and incest and stuff, she had the proper spiritual genes and biological connections all the way back to John the Baptist. And her family sat in that position that one day one of her kids would bring forth this false prophet that would help the, quote, Antichrist to rule the world for a little while. Now, I didn't know that about her. I had no clue, but I'm talking to her outside of a church, and I'm explaining some things. Very simple. And somehow I knew to say to her, repeat back to me what I just said. And she did, but it wasn't what I said. I said, that's not the word I use. That is not what I said. And she said, but that's what I heard from your words. And I realized between me and her, there was a demonic scrambler. So she could say, yes, I heard your words. But on the inside of her, she didn't hear what I said, so she doesn't get the correct interpretation, understanding, knowledge and truth. Something scrambled it between me and her. Was it between me and her physically? Could have been. Was it inside of her? So when my words went into her ears, it scrambled. Could have been. Was it inside her spirit? Could have been. But I realized right then and there that I always needed to have people repeat back to me what I said. And another lady, she was a wonderful, wonderful lady. Don't work with her anymore. And she was mainly in the flesh a lot. I would say something, and I'd say, "What did I just say?" And she would repeat it back, but it wasn't what I said. And I said, "That's not what I said." And she said, "Well, this is what I heard." Because she was filtering it through her experiences, her deeply subconscious man, and it got all scrambled. So a lot of times when people are receiving words, receiving pictures, receiving sounds, what was intended to go out doesn't necessarily mean that it's received that way. So how is a word created? It's created inside of us somewhere. We have two levels of words. We have words that come out of my biological mouth, which can be from my biological brain and that subconscious guy, or it can be coming from my spirit that's deep inside through the subconscious and on out through my biological body. When I go and work with the Homeless Coalition, it's at a Christian ministry here in Pensacola, I tell them, "I am an alien. What you're listening to out of my mouth is my spirit. It is not my soul that has been shaped and conformed." That guy died on a cross, I tell them. "You're listening to my spirit, who is from another planet, another kingdom. It's an off-planet alien compared to everybody else. I don't talk the same language that they have. I don't have the same interpretation. I don't have the same memories that they have." In fact, maybe on the next tape I'll get into the birth and the death of the word and how it really shapes and forms you, and how when that shaping and forming to the human in the womb is not very nice. And we see, you don't have to teach a baby to be bullying, to be mean, to say no. Somehow it has both love and that stuff in it at the same time. Nobody teaches a little baby that. It can get more and more developed based on his experiences. But how is a word created? It comes from a heart, a mind. It's a deep thought based on experiences, deep inner beliefs, concepts, ideas, experiences. And when the word comes out of us, we are expressing ourselves, we are explaining, we are trying to help people, we are responding with emotions. There's always emotions attached to it and feelings. You can hear it when somebody sighs. You can see it in their eyes if they're angry. You can hear it in the tone of the voice, the loudness, the softness. You can see a little sparkle in somebody's eyes that's full of joy. You can see depression and hopelessness. That subconscious guy is always communicating. He's always talking to us. through words. Emotions are words. So there's a deep understanding that we must get with our biological system and how it receives the word, pictures, images, thoughts, ideas, and how that shapes the mind and the heart and the feelings, the memory of the deep subconscious man. And then at the same time, because him and the forever person are one, the forever person is pretty much exactly the same personality, attitude, has the same concepts that this soul has. But the forever person also lives in a realm where the soul does not live, the unseen realm, where there's a lot of creatures, and they do a lot of talking. So it's real important to begin thinking about how you are shaped and formed by words, how you express yourself by words, how you learn and grow by words, how you store words in the biological brain, how words affect and come into your subconscious, how the spiritual world has words, the power of those words. Every living thing, even every dead thing, talks, has words, is communicating. Where they're stored? In a cloud somewhere? Are they laid dormant in here? What happens when we start losing words? We have a stroke or a brain aneurysm, and you're lost for words. What's happened in the brain that this connection doesn't work anymore? What happens if you drink a lot of alcohol, do a lot of drugs? It does damage to your brain. It doesn't function. We lose memory. How come some memories from childhood stay with us forever, and others we don't remember? How come some of the memory, maybe of your kindergarten class, you got bits and pieces of it, but not the other? We always hear stories that when we go to sleep at night, our brain has to do a lot of filing. Look at a memory, look at experience, put it in a file folder, put it in a filing cabinet. Some are thrown away in a trash can. We don't need that, lot of stuff going on. Is that happening? I don't know. I'm asleep. Is that going on inside of my biological brain? Could be. My heart's still beating. My eyes are blinking. I'm in some kind of my conscious awareness. And probably my subconscious are in a deep resting from the day. But my spirit's not. Unless it happens to be asleep in a trance, drugged out, then it too will be asleep. But words come to us in picture forms, songs. When I smell something, a picture comes. A word, flower, a grape. So word, how's the word created? It is our spoken, written, sung. It is our thought that explains something. An image or a likeness, we give it an identity, we give it nature, we give it an essence. In the Bible, you'll learn that when you name something, you give it a name, you put a word to it, you are actually giving that thing its nature, its essence, its character, its purpose, its relationship to you. So the name, which is a word, is very important. We've also heard about how words can bring curses to your life. But some people talk about how witches will curse people. And they'll do spells and they'll say words and put curses on people, their enemies. Some witch doctors do that. They'll kill a chicken or something. They'll take a pen, stab it in a doll. Because they're trying to hurt somebody through supernatural spiritual means that are probably not the good guys. So words are important. Words are containers. Words bring life to us. They bring blessings, hope, encouragement. Or they can bring hopelessness and death. And words can travel generations. The words of the Greeks, demokrata, democracy. That comes from the Greek philosophers. Okay? They can travel. Words can travel generations. Words never really die. They're containers of good things, bad things. Words come in pictures, songs, music. They're talking to us, they're communicating to us. Okay? So, word, how is a word created? That one is from deep inside everything. It has a voice. And its purpose is to communicate itself. Communicate out through words. Everything is communicating its purpose that it has. Has a voice, and it's trying to communicate. Now, we may not think that a cat's meow or a dog's bark or a bird's chirp is a word, but it is. It's the same thing as looking at a rose. A rose is talking to me. I can hear it talking. Pine cones talk. I have a great story about pine cones. When I walk, I'll be walking on the street and I'll see a broken, cut up, dead pine cone on the road. And I'll say to it, "Pine cone, what are you doing out here?" And it will talk back to me. Because nature has a voice. And the pine cone will say, "I'm so sorry, Your Majesty. But some wind and rain came and knocked me out of the dirt and blew me over here on the street, and I can't get back. I don't have any arms or legs to get up. I need somebody to help me put me back where I belong." I go, "Okay, that's my job." So I pick up the brown pine cone and throw him back in the woods. And I say to him, "Now you go and be what you're supposed to be. Drop your seeds. Grow a pine tree." And what I had to learn was that nature out here is a replica of the spiritual, eternal world. And that brown pine cone represented a golden pine cone. I have one of them at the T&W flea market. But here in the earthly world, because death is in every living thing, it's here. It's every living thing. And death is a big and powerful king, and it rules. And it will kill every flesh. And so this brown pine cone was a representative image of the real one. And yet it was talking to me. A lot of people will call them dog whisperers. They're talking to animals. The word from one is going to the other. How? Spiritually. We have people inside. If you're a multiple person with multiple personalities due to trauma or experiences, abuse, you have a lot of conversations, a lot of people on the inside of you, and they all have voices, and they all talk. And they're all individuals, and they're speaking. We did an experiment when I went through the National Alliance for Mentally Ill so that a non-mentally ill person would understand what it feels like to hear voices. I think Anderson Cooper went through this also. You put on a headset, he did, and he had voices talking to him. And he's trying to go about his day doing regular business and work, and he's constantly hearing voices, words, 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 voices, words, words, good ones, bad ones, inside, but nobody else could hear it. And he explained how difficult it was to concentrate. So we did the same thing in this training, in this education. We would stand behind a person and sort of whisper to them while they're trying to have a conversation with somebody else. So words, they're inside of us. Sometimes there's a lot of people inside of us. And if you get off into the spiritual realm, you may have a lot of them things in there too. And how does the higher powers talk to us? Words. Inside here. Dreams. Words. Word is very important. How can a word heal you? How can a word bring hope to hopelessness? How can a word push death back? What is the power of words? Are they stored somewhere until we need them? What's their purpose? So I wanted to bring up this another. My job is to bring you to think, ponder. So you'll go and do research. You'll go and look up things. You'll study on your own to get your answers, your questions answered. Because in the King and the Kingdom series, the word is important. A word was sent to planet Earth to help us. We were in this darkness, this ignorance of truth. We had lost these words from our ancient days. We had no connection to the source, to the memories of these words that they were trying to tell us. So the world came in, and so did the spiritual world. Covered us, filled us up with other words, other concepts, other ideas, other thoughts, other beliefs, other philosophies. And it shaped us and formed us. And we have been away from a word from this eternal realm of agape love for so long that we are a mess. And when this word comes, it starts a war inside of here. And it ain't pretty. You see it in the movie, with Neo in the Matrix. When he starts realizing the truth that he was born into slavery, born to be put in the power plant, just a slave, for what his body produced, energy. A lot of women, hey, and kids, you can produce an orgasm by being a sexual slave. You're born into it. That's your job. And when he started realizing that his whole world was a computer-generated dream world, and it was not real, it made him puke. And when you get to that point, that what these words have told you throughout ancient history, like Democrata, that is not the kind of government that you're to have. That's not the kind of government you came from. That is not the kind of government you're to have inside of your system. Those were from dead, spiritually dead, unconnected spirits to their ancient homeland called the Kingdom of Heaven. But they came up with some ideas how to run a government. And it was different. They were trying to get away from being a king. Because that's another whole story where most humans don't want a king over them. They don't like it because most of the kings were bad. So they had to find some kind of government. So they decided for the people, by the people, we'll elect you with black stones or white stones. And we'll call it democrata, democracy. Well, some countries decided communism would be better. Socialism would be better. Some still have kingdoms, but it's not pretty. Some have a king, but they have the parliament, and the king has no say in politics. Government of both the biological body, the soul, and the spirit is vital. And from that position, it's how you rule people, your families, your business, nations, resources. Understanding the power of a word, its place in your life, how it comes to you, what its source is, what these words do for you, what they are purposed to do in your life, how are they stored, where and why. Some great questions to start asking. Begin learning. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Kingdom and Kingdom series. Pastor Deborah here. And this is just all to give you some things to think about, research on your own, question, ponder, talk to people about. Talk to people who have a lot of knowledge. Ask a lot of questions. Look at your own life. Do a self-assessment. Ask a lot of questions. I hope you'll come back to another episode. Not sure what it's going to be, but I am getting ready to go off today. I have my homeless luncheon to do. And then I think I have to go to Walmart. Go do shopping. But this is, how is a word created? Till you understand that and the value of words in your life, you can't understand why you feel the way you do, when you go to therapy, why they're talking the way they do, how the words form concepts and precepts, philosophies and ideas, and how words come through books to teach us and train us and be our tutors, and how we live by words of ancient dead people. And yet we don't really know what is truth. Maybe we don't want to know the truth. Because sometimes we like living in ignorance. And because knowing truth, you might feel like Neo. And some people know the truth, but they prefer ignorance because they're happier. They don't have to change. They can make excuses. They don't have to look at themselves and how words affect them. Enjoy this teaching. Come again. Pastor Deborah, Agape Love, Love is Here. www.agapeloveishere.org. You can find us on Twitter, the YouTube channel called The Hidden Kingdoms, the website, also on LinkedIn. My email is pastordeborah@agapeloveishere.org. Enjoy your day. Be blessed. And think and ponder. Love always. Come back again. Bye-bye.